Good morning. Welcome to St. John's. We gather this morning so that we can give our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving. And I'm glad that you're here today because someone just might have needed to see you. So thank you. Drive-in communion will continue this week. Maundy Thursday is this coming Thursday. This is for all of you who are still at home trying to stay safe and healthy. If you would like, you can call in and make an appointment between 10 and noon on Thursday morning, and I will bring out communion after we have a brief conversation. I hope that you can join us this Thursday, April 1st, for our drive-in communion. Holy Week begins today. If you didn't see them, there were palm branches out there. I hope you've all seen them and have taken yours and things like that. But Holy Week begins today. Today we celebrate both Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but we will also have a brief look at the passion story of Jesus in case you cannot be with us for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Of course, I want to encourage you to come and be part of our worship on Maundy Thursday at 7 o'clock in the evening. There, two of our young people will receive their very first communion. And so, as we celebrate Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples, I invite you to come and be part of our community. Good Friday, we have a 1 o'clock in the afternoon service in the chapel and a 7 o'clock in the evening service here in our main sanctuary as we remember, as we recall the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, all culminating next Sunday, April 4th, with our triumphal celebrations of Easter. I hope that you will be able to join us for as many of these Holy Week services as possible. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them. And now, as we begin our celebration of Palm Sunday, I invite you to please rise. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. And immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who had went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please rise. And if you'll grab your palm branches. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in Jerusalem and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Please raise your palm branches. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you. Through that same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. Our procession song is Hosanna. Praise is rising. We sing together.
Hope is there.
as we now enter into the contemplation of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and meditate on the salvation of the world through his sufferings, his death, burial, and resurrection, let us pray. Everlasting God, in your endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 15th chapter. Today we hear from the Gospel of Mark and his passion story. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. They called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head, and they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of his purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." Then some ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to drink, saying, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's son." The Gospel of our Lord. Be seated. May your Holy Week be filled with grace and light. Amen. The day our service started out so well. We were joining along with the pilgrim throng shouting and singing, "Hosanna!" Jesus is in the crowd with the disciples. Jesus is the one on the donkey. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem as a penitent, as a pilgrim, joining along with his brothers and sisters, but he is so much more. The reality, though, is that Jesus isn't coming into Jerusalem at the head of an army. Here is no general on a war horse or some impressive stallion galloping along, leading his troops into battle. Jesus comes humbly, greeted by shouts of Hosanna, help us, save us. Greeted by songs of blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Because the world needs help. And the people who were there outside of Jerusalem believed that Jesus just might be that help. The day started out so well. But then we move quickly from hosannas and all glory, Lord, and honors to shouts of crucify. From the royal welcome of a humble Christ to Jesus alone and dying. From crying out for help to a centurion finally confessing that this man was God's son. Today we move from the story of that triumphal entry to the passion story, to Jesus' own death on a cross. We joined that story in the middle this morning. Just before our reading began, Jesus had been in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, praying that the cup may be removed, but submitting to God's will being done. From there, Jesus was betrayed by a friend, abandoned by more friends, denied by a close friend, and left all alone at the mercy of the high priest's police. That's where we find Jesus. All alone and at the mercy of the high priests with the elders and the scribes. He has been beaten and abused. He has been tried and convicted. And now they are taking him to Pontius Pilate to be handed over to be executed. Arriving at Pilate's headquarters, Jesus is falsely accused, beaten again, even though he gives no offense because he gives no answer. Remains silent. And here we see Jesus all alone. And then even the crowds turn against him. The throngs of people who had greeted Jesus with hymns and songs now cry for his death. Hosanna becomes crucify. Blessings become a demand for Barabbas, who was a terrifying revolutionary, who was a threat not only to Rome, but to anyone who disagreed with him. As the crowds gather thicker and more numerous, Jesus is all alone. Then the soldiers gang up on him. They lead Jesus into a courtyard after he has been flogged. He is now out of the eyes of the crowd, out of the prying eyes of Pilate and others. These Roman soldiers now join in with the mocking, the beating, the abusing of just this one. Someone said king, so they weave thorns into a crown and cram it on his head. They placed a purple cloak around him, beat him, kicked him, punched him, spat on him, all the while saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Surrounded by the entire Roman cohort, Jesus sits there all alone. After Jesus is convicted, sentenced to die, he finally gets some help, some assistance, but the help is coerced. The soldiers compel a passerby, a stranger, to help Jesus to carry his cross because that's how badly beaten he already is. Tradition tells us that Simon of Cyrene eventually becomes a believer and that his sons, Alexander and Rufus, are both bishops in the early church. But on this day, Simon was forced to help and would rather have been anywhere else than where he was that day, and Jesus was still alone. Jesus is then crucified, nailed to a cross, and lifted up so that the crowds and passers-by could watch as Jesus hung and struggled for every breath. Even though there were others crucified with him, Jesus hung alone because even those dying with him joined with the crowds and the leaders, the soldiers, all of them, mocking him, deriding him, laughing at his sufferings. There, in the midst of a tumult of people, Jesus hung there all alone. And finally, in the afternoon, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, the battered and abused Jesus, abandoned and all alone, feels that even God has turned his back. This Jesus, in his dying moments, feels utterly and completely alone. And of all the suffering, this may be the worst. There's no one to turn to. There's no one to help him find strength or to have his back. And Jesus dies categorically alone. And yet, alone he may have been, abused and abandoned, betrayed and denied, beaten, tortured, suffocated he was. But in his dying, in his death, Jesus fulfilled God's plan for us and lived his ministry to the end. In this death, Jesus leads the Roman centurion to confess this man was God's son. The high priest and Pilate tried to kill Jesus for the peace of the city. The crowds were looking for someone to die, anyone to fulfill their bloodlust. The soldiers were there to try to make the day as painful as they possibly could because it was their job. And even though they all thought that they had succeeded in their jobs, God's love still wins. The centurion saw something. We're never sure what it is, but he saw something that led to this confession. You see, in his willingness to die for them all, in his willingness to die for us all, Jesus shows to all who are looking what the love of God is truly like. Jesus went to his death willingly. Jesus went to his death uncomplaining. Jesus went to his death without threats of violence or vengeance, without curses or accusations. Jesus went to his death for us, empty of his divine essence, yet filled by God's love to overflowing. This is what we cherish. This is what we celebrate in Holy Week, the depth of Jesus' love for us all. So may we discover in this Holy Week new and appropriate ways to give thanks and to live our gratitude, loving our neighbor and following Jesus into the world. May your week be blessed. Amen. And now I invite you to rise as we join together in prayer. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. In Jesus, you came among us as a suffering servant. Give your church humility. Redeem your people from pride and the certainty that we always know your will. Heal us and empower us to confess Christ crucified. Lord, in your mercy, in creation, life springs from death. Redeem your creation awaiting resurrection. Restore lost habitats and endangered species. Create new possibilities for areas affected by climate change. Grant relief from natural disasters and nurture new growth. Lord, in your mercy, Jesus was handed over to the powers of this world. In all nations, instruct the powerful that they would not exploit their power, but maintain justice. Sustain soldiers and guide those who command them, that they serve those in greatest need. Lord, in your mercy. On the cross, Jesus joined all who feel forsaken. Abide with those who are condemned to death. Defend those who are falsely accused. Console and strengthen those who are mocked or bullied. Accompany all who suffer. Grant respite and renewal. Lord, in your mercy, you called followers to tend to Jesus' body in death. Sustain hospice workers and funeral directors. Bless this congregation's ministries at time of death. Those who plan and lead funerals. Those who prepare meals. All who offer support in grief. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for sisters and brothers we long for and miss. May all who receive cards this week know of your warmth and your love. Lord, in your mercy, you inspired the centurion to confess Jesus as your son. We praise you for the faith you have given to people of all places and times. Give us also such faith to trust the promise of baptism and with them to look for the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy, we entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. You are indeed holy, Almighty and merciful God. You are most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for his coming into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish all things for our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim our Lord's death until he comes. Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In his suffering and death, Jesus shows us the depth of God's love for us all. And in the spirit of that love, I bid you now, come to his table of grace. You may be seated.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you weren't condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you.
Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so we pray, merciful God, accompany our journey through these 40 days. Renew us in the gift of baptism that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you, now and forever. Amen. Have a blessed and wonderful day as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Song, hear my cry, I will bring a sound.